this computer. There we go. Okay, so if everyone will find where it talks about the mitzvah of Shabbos by the Luchos, so that is Perek Chaf in Shmos and Pasuk Ches. And over there we have, everybody knows these words, Zachar es Yom HaShabbos L'Kadsho. Zachar, remember. It sounds like it's referring to something that we already know about. We just need to be reminded of it. Remember it. Zachar es Yom HaShabbos L'Kadsho. So Hirsch explains what we're being asked to remember is, as I'll read directly from his words, Zachar now recalls to us the ancient memorial that God established when he first appointed man as his representative and deputy, La'avda u'l'shamra, backed by Gan Eden. He understands that man's task was to take the physical world that he was given control over and mastery over, but to, what does it mean to La'avda u'l'shamra? It means to dedicate it to some higher purpose. And that was the original purpose of Shabbos in the beginning of history. The Shabbos is the memorial God established in order to preserve man's acknowledgement of him. The downward course of mankind's history was caused solely by man's forgetting God, thus necessitating the election of Israel as God's herald to lead mankind upward once again. So therefore, he says that the Shabbos is not introduced here as something new. It's an axiom. We know it's there already. It's a reminder. Let's keep that old memory. Let's wake it back up. That's Zachar. So now, there's another idea that we see besides Zachar, and that's in the second set of Luchos. Everybody knows about Shamar. Right? So let's go there for a second just to see it. See if we can find it before me. It's in Rosh Hashanah, right? Hold on. I think it's in Rosh Hashanah. Is that correct? Here it is. Okay, in Perek, in Devarim, Perek Hei, Pasuk Yud Beis, where the Luchos are introduced there, and we jump into Shabbos. So there it says, Shomar, Yom HaShabbos L'Kadsho, Kasha Tzivcha Hashem Elokecha. We'll talk about another difference in a minute. There's another thing that appears in the second set of Luchos, but we'll keep that for soon. So there's a Zachar and there's a Shamar. So what is this Shamar? So the Shamar is where we learn all the halachas, all the lamites malachas that we're not supposed to, things that we have to not do to guard yourself. And that's learned out from the fact that it's inserted later in Parshas Vayakhel, I believe it is, where we introduce the Mishkan and we have a mitzvah Shabbos telling you that once you've heard about what you can't do, you know, now you can rebuild. Now you can, after Shabbos, you can start talking about building the Mishkan, but not until Shabbos is over. So we learned that all the things involved in the Mishkan, those are the lamites malachas, which we'll get into in a minute. There's distinctions between two categories of those malachas. But Shamar that we're now given are the lamites malachas. So there's this general idea of recognizing that God created the world, and we'll call that Shabbos Bereshis, Shabbos of creation, that the whole world was expected to keep. But the Jews were given a unique new thing, and that's the Jewish Shabbos, and that's the Lamites Malachas. I'm going to quote you what Hirsch quotes from the Pesik de Rabsi, one of the Midrashim, which says the following, Amar of Yudin, of Yehuda, Zachar Nasan L'Umasa Olam, Shamar Nasan L'Yisrael. It's the same exact idea that we just said. So, the Shmira...
Who said that?
Rabbi Yudin. Yud, Vav, Dalet, Nun. I think that's just like the Mar Yerushalmi calls Rabbi Yehuda Rabbi Yudin. I think it's the same person, Rabbi Yehuda. That's how they pronounced it. So that's Psik the Rapsi, Perek Chaf Gimel, if you want to check it out. So it's exactly like we just said. So, the Shmira, how is that going to help anything? What's the expectation here? Well, the Shmira was something concrete. It's something that's much more than an idea of thinking about. It's actively holding yourself back from things that you might have done. So let's talk a little bit about how this malacha works, how Issur malacha works, and how it's that statement. And by the way, Hirsch goes on to a bit of a long shtickle, which I'm not going to read you the whole thing here. But basically, he's talking to the reformers of his time, and he said, those people who want to pay tribute to Shabbos by making going to shul the biggest deal in the world and hearing the rabbi's sermon, but everything else they don't do, back in their house, they're doing whatever they want, they're not keeping Shabbos. They miss the whole point of it, because what becomes Jewish about Shabbos is the Issur Melacha. The idea of remembering nice ideas, that was already in the world, and that's not the Jewish Shabbos. What Hashem gave us is this whole point. We're actually making a testimony to the world by our behavior on Shabbos of what the world had forgotten. That Hashem entrusted us with that. And he had hoped the whole world would get this idea, and because the world had forgotten it, he entrusted us with that. Why us? We'll talk about in a minute. So this is a malacha. So first of all, there's so many places I have to remember where to look here. But on the idea of malacha, Hirsch says in a few places, I'll just say it by heart. The idea of the word malacha is the same shorish as the word malach. And a malach is really, it's the subject of your intention. When you have a messenger, he's called a malach. If you have things that you put into use, they become your malach. They are the expression of your intention. So that any time that you put something to, you use your will and your thought into something, you've now, that object becomes your the creation of your intent. Essentially, therefore, malacha is creative activity. That's what malacha is. Now, why by the Mishkan of all things does it tie in that those very same things we learn from the fact that we couldn't do anything by building the Mishkan? So that's exactly what it is that Hashem says. Those are the very same things that build the Mishkan that we cannot do on Shabbos. Why is that? What do they have to do with each other? Because every single creative activity that a human could possibly imagine should be invested in the building of this makam where the Shekhinah is going to reside. It makes perfect sense that it would be those very activities in all of them, whatever possibly can be in a human productive mastery of the world. We take, God gives us the world to master it. And we take all of that mastery in our building a makam in the world for Hashem to reside. That's why those lamitas malachas are exactly the building of the Mishnah. But it's that very same mastery that Hashem tells us is one day a week where he wants us to realize that although he empowered us, sheishis yamim tavod v'sisukom alachtecha, then you should have mastery and all of your intent should be in all your actions. That's very true. But there's one day when we stop doing that so that on that day we recognize that we are not masters. There's another master over this whole world. The truth is that we could deceive ourselves a whole week long if we don't keep Shabbos in mind. And that's why there are many mitzvahs in Zohar which are during the week to keep in mind. Just like we say, it's not just a thing to mumble at the end of davening, Hayom Yom Rishon B'Shabbos Yom Sheni B'Shabbos. That's a mitzvah d'oraisa that we're fulfilling by having all the actions of our week with Shabbos in mind. And the idea of Shabbos in mind doesn't mean we're counting towards Shabbos. It means putting Shabbos in our minds as we go through life. The idea of Shabbos is, well, let's talk a little bit about that. What's Hashem resting? Hirsch and Bereshit says, Vayichulu, everything came to an end. Hashem finished what he needed to do. Vayishpos, Hashem resting, doesn't mean Hashem took a break. Hashem doesn't need a physical break. Resting means, in Hashem's terms, Vayishpos, Shavas, it means putting things where they need to be. Everything is as it should be. So what new thing was as it should be? Hashem had just finished creating man at the end of the sixth day. And now, what's the next thing? There's a place for man to now reflect on what is before him. If man was just an animal, if man didn't have free will, there'd be nothing new to talk about. All of creation is just nature, and nature has a God, and God put it all in place. That's the end of it. But now that there's a man on earth, at the end of all that creation, God made another creation a place or a time space for which he gave a bracha to, and he is mekadesh it. He gave kedusha to that time space, so that something good could come of everything that came before it, so that all of the creation has meaning. Man, with his free will be given all of that creation to put to use, but man needs to understand what it's all for. So the Shabbos, that's why Hashem was mevarech the Shabbos, because without the Shabbos, everything else won't have any purpose. And he Hashabar Lakim La'asos, Hirsch explains the word La'asos, it's a strange word. He created it to do. What does to do mean? So he understands to continue to develop the world through man's existing with a Shabbos idea, all of mankind, not just Jews, with man being aware that there's a God on the world, then man will eventually grow into what man needs to be, which is taking everything they have, all of this world, all of the mastery of this world, and developing the relationship with Hashem through their way they live their lives. Man forgot that, so now Hashem gives this to Klal Yisrael to do, to get the world back to where it has to go. So that's Malacha. So when he talks about Malacha in Vayakhel, hold on a second, so he has a very interesting distinction that he makes there. He says about the Gemara that determines that we have Lamites Malachas, and he says basically that there's two kinds of things that are usher to do on Shabbos. There's 38 Malachas, and then there's the Malacha regarding carrying. That's a whole separate one. Chazal referred to that as Malacha Gerua. It's its own separate, it's a different kind of Malacha. Had you only had this idea of creative activity, you would have never on your own assumed that carrying was one of them until we have it through Remez, Yirmiyahu HaNavi talks about it, there's a whole pair of Yud Zayin where Yirmiyahu talks about right before the Churban. If only you would stop carrying on Shabbos, Hashem would save the state and we wouldn't have to have the destruction of Shabbos, which we'll talk about why after that of all things. But it's a whole separate category, carrying. So what's that about? So in other words, carrying is not necessarily, you wouldn't see in carrying any mastery. All the other things, even things that seem destructive, you could say you burn something in order to build something. You tear down something in order to build something, to fix it. But carrying, where's that? What's that about? So listen to these brilliant, amazing words. So Hirsch writes as follows, in case you want to look it up one day, it's in the new Hirsch on page 828 in Parshas Vayakhel. If we look for the common idea underlying all the other malachos, we find that they all show man's position as master of all things of the physical world. Hotzah, carrying, however, belongs strictly to the social sphere. The most complete picture of a full national life would be the relation of the individual to society and a society to the individual. What the individual does for the community, what the community does for the individual, and the furthering of social causes in the social sphere. And listen to what the parallel is in the halachas of carrying. These are relations that come to clear expression in Hotzah and Hachnasa, from Rishus HaRabin to Rishus HaYachid. There's society to the individual, and from Rishus HaYachid to Rishus HaRabin. Right? That's also one of the Isurim of carrying. And Havara Dalet Amos Rishus HaRabin. That's transferring something Dalet Amos without going from inside to outside, just carrying within the Rishus HaRabin. That's interaction within the social realm, within society itself, furthering society's needs. So there's a whole set of halachas about your interaction with society. We have, again, the first set, the majority of the halachas are mastery over the physical world, which we refrain from and we declare God as the true master. And then we've got the halachas of Shabbos that involve our relationship with society. The former, the first group, is subordination to God in nature. The latter is subordination to God in history. History meaning his involvement with human existence. And then I'm going to skip a little bit, and he goes on to say, now we understand that the two facts that the Torah mentions as reasons for the mitzvah of Shabbos, which are, now let's go, hold on, I forgot to show you this is important. Let's go back to Devarim for a second. Well, we heard about the and the second time the Sarasota was there, we heard about Shomer Shem Shabbos Akash. We had Shomer. If you go a couple of more psukim ahead, very similar psukim to the first set of luchos. And there we have finally the last pasuk in Shmir Shabbos in the second set of luchos, pasuk Tesvav, the Zacharta. You should remember. So you were an Eved in Eretz Mitzrayim, and God took you out of there with a strong hand, outstretched arm, Al Kain. Therefore, Sivcha Hashem Alakecha La'asos Es Yom HaShabbos. He commanded you to do Shabbos. So Zechel Yetzias Mitzrayim. So which one is it? The first set of Luchos, and even this one, even the second set, talk about Shesh Es Yom, because Hashem made the world. Right? It's talked about that too. And here, the first set emphasizes that Hashem made the world, and the second set emphasizes Yetzias Mitzrayim. So which one is it? So says Hirsch, what he just pointed out by Hotzah, is its own thing about God in the social realm, or as he puts it now, in history, or we have God in nature, in creation. So he goes on to say as follows. Now we see that the two facts that the Torah mentions as reasons for the Mitzvah Shabbos are Briyas Shemayim Va'aretz and Yetzias Mitzrayim complement each other in their essential meaning. The creation of the world attests to the Creator's sovereignty in nature. And this is expressed on Shabbos by all the other malachos. The exodus from Egypt attests to the Creator's sovereignty in the lives of nations. He took us out as a nation. We as a nation, because we are totally owned by Hashem, more than all the other nations, were chosen because He took us out of everything. And now our entire national identity is wrapped up in Hashem. This is expressed on Shabbos by the Issur Hotzah, he says, because that's about society, how God interacts with society. So I'm going to read you something that Hirsch says in Bereshis when he first talks about Shabbos the very first time, which really is, it struck me this time only after seeing it so many times, after seeing it in other places, the God of nature, the God of history. But he actually said it the very first time he talks about Shabbos. He writes as follows. Had men been created, this is Bereshis, he says this on page 62 in the new printings. Had man been created like all other creatures, without a free will, then God's work would have been completed on the sixth day. But because man was created with a free will, and because this freedom, though it raises him even higher than the angels, of necessity, entails the possibility of error and sin, man must be educated to recognize the truth and to do good of his own free will. Therefore, though God's work in nature had been completed, so that's fine, he's the creator, but his work in history, meaning involving what humans and their frailty and what they're going to need to be guided throughout the end of days until finally man finally gets it, struggling with his Yetzirah and going through all of history with God's guidance, God's work in history had only begun. With the seventh day, God began to shape the natural causes that were to be the educational instrument of his guidance of mankind. And he writes, Nimalechas Elamo Shavas. That's what God finished with at that moment. Nimalechas Tzadikim Urashayim Lo Shavas. That never ended. That's a gracious Rabbah. The education of man towards his spiritual and moral level was entrusted to the Shabbos. The whole subsequent history of God's guidance and revelation, the entire rest of history, has no other purpose but to lead the Shabbos to victory and to create for the Shabbos its Bnei Zug, its partners. So at the beginning of the Briyas HaOlam, when everything was finished, but it was just beginning really, and that was the world to become aware that there is a God in the world and that everything they do should be, well, and all the struggles should be with God in mind. And again, Hirsch points out in Shmos that people who think that Shabbos is just a nice idea and they forget about the Malacha, they miss the whole ikkar of why Jews have Shabbos. And he says, hold on, I got to read you these strong words here. Hold on. Because this one was too good to leave out. Just a minute. Page 346. Well, I got three exclamation points in my notes, so it's worthy of reading. Hold on a second here. Yeah. After he mentions Kevar Yisrael ben Mitzrayim, he talks about the whole thing. Yeah. So all of mankind owe their physical existence to God, the creator of the world, and are invited by Shabbos to pay homage to the Creator. Israel, however, owes even its national existence to God. Therefore, when God wished to enlist people who would keep the Shabbos and observe it before the eyes of the world, thus demonstrating in practice their homage to God's kingship, he selected you, the Jews, out of the midst of mankind, because your hand and your arm belong to him more than those of all the other nations, because he took us out of Mitzrayim. Because your independence, your free power, and your might are the historical evidence of and testimony to his mastery over the world of nature and human history. He commanded you to offer your testimony publicly on each and every Shabbos by ceasing from work of your hand and arm and stopping the activity of your power and might. Now listen to these words. The whole history of Israel from Avram to Moshe is nothing but God's creation of a nation to be the bearer of the Shabbos. Thus, the Jewish Shabbos is at one and the same time the whole purpose of why God formed Klai Yisrael, according to what Hirsch is saying, is to get to this moment when we would be a nation that keeps Shabbos. So let's just summarize what we just said here. We have, on the one hand, we have the two different lukos. One is Zachar, one is Shamar. The Zachar is to bring back the old memory of God who people forgot, but that's God, the creator of the world. That's the creator of the world in general. That's nice and voracious. We have Shamar, which is our concrete way of keeping of Shabbos, and that's refraining from the Lamatis Malachas, which is all acts of human creativity. And that's specifically given to Klai Yisrael, who we were the ones taken out of Mitzrayim. We were the ones who felt Hashem in history. And he involved us as a nation. It's our national history that got changed. And it makes perfect sense that Hashem showing himself in history would be declared by us making a concrete statement as a nation. It also makes perfect sense why Yirmiyahu HaNavi, when he talked to us about which mitzvahs we have to keep in order to save the state, talked about the Isser of Hotzah, because that's the society, that's the state. It's one thing in your private lives declaring Hashem, but the one thing that declares us as a state, as a functional society, is Hotzah, how you, in all your interactions with society, how you function. And that's what you're always saying. If only you kept Hotzah, you'd remember yourself as a nation in the hands of Hashem. And already by Bria Sa'olam, Hirsch talks about the fact that Hashem was not just the God of creation, but he's the God of history. And the beginning of history starts with this idea of Shabbos. And Klai Yisrael's role in history is to bring Shabbos back to the world. We have it, like I said, Lamatis Malachas, but society has to learn from us. Malachas, again, are a malach. They're your will carried out in something. Every malach is that. They're your messenger in an action. So with that, I think I've had enough on the subject of Shabbos to last a while. And starting next week, I'm debating whether I'm going to go back to a whole new topic or talk about Yom Tov and some more. Probably I'll give Yom Tov a break, even though I have a lot to say on that. Maybe we'll wait till a few months down the road. There's a beautiful essay he writes in Chorev about the entire pattern of all the Yom Tov and how they fit in as one beautiful set of Shabbos at the head and then Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur as its own little piece. But well, he talks about physical, spiritual, sustaining physical, sustaining spiritual, and how they all tie in together. It's a whole, he has actually a whole diagram, a whole map of how they all fit together. Different time. All right. I think I got it out of my system. Enough. My wife has already told me she's heard enough about Shabbos. Okay. Yeah.
I wanted to ask you, when was the Chait of Adam HaRishon? Was it on Yom Shlishi?
Well, by Shabbos, he was always saying Mitzvah Shalim Shabbos. So I think at the end of the sixth day, I think he was he kicked out on Shabbos? I'm not sure. I heard that once. I don't remember. So I looked that up.
Yeah. No, because this idea of the entire creation was finished, and then Shabbos is created in this sense of, using it as the template of, how to interact with HaKadosh Baruch Hu through history, or how Hashem acts with us, to create this history. I mean, it's a question of whether or not the, you know, the action of man had developed into this necessity. In other words, had it gone the other way, if there was no sin.
So Hirsch was very clear about that. He really felt that this was always intended, that there had to be some vehicle for man who has the capacity for sin, even if he wouldn't have sinned, to bring the idea of God into his actions. It wasn't to answer to the chait. It was because man is capable of chait and is capable of forgetting Hashem, that there was an infusion of Kedusha into the world so that man could pull from that as he masters the world and not misuse it. That's how I think he puts it, Bereshis. That's what I think he means. But I still don't know the answer to your question.
I don't know who it comes from or if he really agrees with this idea. But, you know, the concept that what was really created on Shabbos, like you said, the Kadosh Baruch Hu doesn't need to rest himself. So the entire concept of rest. In other words, you know, you can have work. You're always striving to do something. But the idea of stopping and absorbing and taking in, I don't know if it's hard to say that really fits in with what he's saying exactly, but I don't remember
maybe this will help you a little bit. I'm going to read you Kiddush. What we say in Kiddush is really, her says in Bereshis also, but I'm just going to read you Friday night what we say there, and we say it by davening too. Maybe the words are a little tricky when just trying to make sense out of them. After Vayichul HaShemayim Baratzachol Tzom, Hashem finished all the stuff that he had to make and all the hosts, possibly conflicting things, but they're all really one unit. By Chalalakim B'yam HaShvi, he completed Malachto, which means his intentional creations, Asher Asah, that he had made, by Yishpos. So the way Hirsch translated that, he put everything in its final place, B'yam HaShvi, Mikom Malachto, from all of his having willed it to be that way, Asher Asah. Then listen to this. Vayivarach Elokim es Yom HaShvi. He put bracha into the seventh day. Vayikadosh Oto. He put a unique, special designation and holiness, a unique designation. Why? What's so special about this day? Because, ki vo shavas mikom malachto. Because in that day, he had finished from all of his work. Asher bar Elokim that he made, la'asos, to further do what he had put into place. What does that mean? The reason for the bracha was because Hashem made this as the final crown of everything he did. In other words, it's not enough to make a world, but you need to create a pocket of time where it's possible to think about what it all means. So that's why Vayivarach and Vayikadosh Oto, because he knew this was the final purpose of it all. There would be no reason to have a world if it wouldn't be that there'd be man who needs to think about that there's a God in the world to then use the world with that in mind. Asher bara Elokim la'asos means the whole purpose of the original Bria. That's how he says it. The original Bria was la'asos, to further what Hashem made by making use of this world. So initially there was always, he says, the idea of Shabbos was to make use of the world that Hashem made by concentrating on it. Does that help? No.
Yeah, that's very good.
Okay. But I reckon that, let me tell you, I've sat and thought about this paragraph, I don't know, over the years, many hours. It's worth pondering over. Go open up a Hirsch on Bereshis, read those few psukim, let it bake with you for a while. There's a lot of depth in these words. But the God of nature is part one, but really what Hashem wants is to realize that he's guiding us throughout our lives. That's the God of history. And this is a theme all over the place in Hirsch, these two notions of God. One more place where he mentions it is by Parshas Va'ira, where Hashem tells Moshe Rabbeinu, Ani Kel Shakai, Ushmi Hashem lo nodati ad ata. I'm Kel Shakai. Kel Shakai is the name of Hashem, the creator. Sha'omer lo lamodai, that when he made the world, and Hirsch says it's also gracious, when he made the world, the fact that it doesn't keep on going, more creation, more things happening, more creation, and then it stops happening in thousands of years, we don't see, contrary to what people would like, some scientists out there, no, it's still going on, it's a proof that it's all, no. The world is not continuing to create itself. The fact that it's not is a proof that there was an intentional creation, and shall Amar Lalam Adai, that he stopped at some point. That shows that everything till now was with intention and thought. But Hashem said, that was me, the God of nature. That the world knew about me that way. Ushmi Hashem, but my name, Yudke Vavke, which means Hayahovaviyya, that I'm involved in the past, present, and future, that I'm directing the world. I'm involved in humans' needs, and when man needs me to step in and make changes, even in the world of nature, that I'll shake things up. I wasn't known until this moment. Now you're going to see what I'm going to do. That's Yetzias Mitzrayim. So Yudke Vavke, that's the God of history. And even though we do find the name Yudke Vavke earlier, but it wasn't known, wasn't personal until this moment. But Yetzias Mitzrayim, after he had formed and developed, let nature take its course and let might makes right, and the tough guys beat up Klai Yisrael, we were in bad shape. Now Hashem's going to step in and make his move. And then we're going to understand that he's been there all along guiding things behind the scenes. So that's the God of history. That's where he introduced himself in a powerful way. The name Yudke Vavke only appears in the Chumash once man is created. Before that, it's Elohim, which is also the God of nature. It stands for Ela in Lashon Rabbim. Ela is these, and Yud-Mem is the plural. These different forces of nature that God is the totality of all of them. He unifies all the forces of nature. He's the one who orchestrates it all. That's Elohim, the God of nature. So it's always been there, these two ideas. But also in Shabbos itself, we testify to both Zocha v'Shamar, the God of creation, the God of nature, and the God of history. Okay.
Rabbi Seif, quick question. Yes. You had said there were the couple lines that we should like look at and ponder.
Yeah.
Is there a way you can send us a picture of it, maybe?
Sure, I could scan it. Sure, it's well worth it. Sure, Belina, I'll do that, not tonight, because I promised Mark something else first.
I'll start pondering it later.
if I don't send it by tomorrow, just send me a text message to remind me.
Oh.
Okay? I'll send it tomorrow.
Thank you.
Well worth it. It's basically what I just read you about Kiddush, but it's worth chasming over. And also in the beginning of Bereshis. Belina, okay, I really should write this stuff up into essays, even though Hirsch has done it all over the place in Chumash, but somebody needs to organize it I tried, but it's still a bit helter-skelter. I'm making an attempt at making order out of it. Okay.
Okay, Yisgoyach.
Thank you.
Okay. A good tvach.
Thank you.
Good tvach. Thank you.